Who is that person? Come him. Swayam personally. Tat abhigyaha. Knowing spiritual knowledge. Vipaschet. A learned scholar. Avidyaya mantare. In ignorance. Vartamanam. Existing. Drishtva. Seen. Punaha. Again. Tam. Him. Sagrinaha. Very merciful. Kubudim. Who is addicted to the path of samsara. Prayojayat. Would engage. Utpatakam. Who is proceeding on the wrong path. Yata. Like. Andam. A blind man. So translation. If someone is ignorant and addicted to the path of samsara, how can one who is actually learned, merciful, and advanced in spiritual knowledge engage him in fruitive activity and thus further entangle him in material existence? If a blind man is walking down the wrong path, how can a gentleman allow him to continue on his way to danger? How can he approve this method? No wise or kind man can allow this. So there's no purport to this text, so I'm going to read the next text of this purport and then comment. So text 18. Guru nasashat swajano nasashat pita nasashat janani nasashat daivam tachan napatishcha chashan namuchyadya samupeja mrityum. One who cannot deliver his dependents from the path of repeated birth and death should never become a spiritual master, a father, a husband, a mother, or a worshipful demigod. So, purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. There are many spiritual masters, but Rishabhadeva advises that one should not become a spiritual master if he is unable to save his disciple from the path of birth and death. Unless one is a pure devotee of Krishna, he cannot save himself from the path of repeated birth and death. Chaktva deham purna janma naiti mameti sojuna. One can stop birth and death only by returning home back to Godhead. However, who can go back to Godhead unless he understands the Supreme Lord in truth? Janma karma chami divyam evam yo veti totvataha. We have many instances in history illustrating Rishabhadeva's instructions. Shukracharya was rejected by Bali Maharaj due to his inability to save Bali Maharaj from the path of repeated birth and death. Shukracharya was not a pure devotee. He was more or less inclined to fruitive activity, and he objected when Bali Maharaj promised to give everything to Lord Vishnu. Actually, one is supposed to give everything to the Lord because everything belongs to the Lord. Consequently, the Supreme Lord advises in Bhagavad Gita in the 9th chapter, text 27, Yatkaroshi yadashnasi yajyohoshi dadasi yat yatapashashi konteha tatkurashva mad arpanam. O son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities that you may perform, should be done as an offering unto me. This is bhakti. Unless one is devoted, he cannot give everything to the Supreme Lord. Unless one can do so, he cannot become a spiritual master, husband, father, or mother. Similarly, the wives of the brahmanas who were performing sacrifices gave up their relatives just to satisfy Krishna. This is an example of a wife rejecting a husband who cannot deliver her from the impending dangers of birth and death. Similarly, Pallad Maharaj rejected his father, and Bharat Maharaj rejected his mother, Janani Nastashat. The word Daivam indicates a demigod or one who accepts worship from a dependent. Ordinarily, the spiritual master, husband, father, mother, or superior relative accepts worship from an inferior relative. But here Rishabhadeva forbids this. First, the father, spiritual master, or husband must be able to release the dependent from repeated birth and death. If he cannot do this, he plunges himself into the ocean of reproachment. I think that's a big word for all of you. That means reproachment means he can be criticized. You understand? He's reproached by others. That's a very big word in English. That he puts himself in a situation where people can actually make fun of him, criticize him, and what to speak of the Supreme Personality of God and advanced devotees, chastise him for his unlawful activities. Everyone should be very responsible and take charge of his dependents, just as a spiritual master takes charge of his disciple or father takes charge of his son. All these responsibilities cannot be discharged honestly unless one can save the dependent from repeated birth and death. So Om Ganat Midanda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshuran Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So Srila Prabhupada is here, and Lord Rishabhadeva is also doing this. He's giving a very high standard for becoming a spiritual master and becoming a father or a mother or any person or taking up any position where you're guiding others. This is a very high position, a high prerequisite. Prerequisite means what you have to do before you take the position. In other words, you have to become a pure devotee. So, first of all, does that mean that none of you should be getting married or having children or anything like that? Because what is a pure devotee? Let's define that first. Of course, pure devotee means one who has no other motivation other than to serve the Supreme Personality. Got it. Anyabhi vashita shunyam. Jnana karma navratam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti rutamam. That's from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Srila Rupa Goswami. He says, a pure devotee, he defines what a pure devotee is. He said, a pure devotee, anyabhi vashita shunyam. He has none of these dirty things. He's devoid of all dirty things, like the desire for subtle or gross sense gratification, or even the desire for liberation. What do they say? Bhukti mukti siddhi kam. He's devoid of the desire for bhukti, that's sense gratification, mukti, liberation, or even powers within this world. So, jnana karma navratam, and then that's the negative definition of a pure devotee. When you define pure devotee, or practically anybody, there's a negative and a positive definition, what he's not and what he is. So he's not interested in gross sense gratification, subtle sense gratification, or even liberation from the material world. And then the positive definition is anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti rutamam. That he serves Krishna, it's very interesting, actively, not just in his meditation, but he actually does something for Krishna. Anukulyena krishnanu shilanam. He does what Krishna wants. That's another point. Because you can say, I'm doing what I want to do for Krishna, but a pure devotee does what Krishna wants him to do for service. So he does what Krishna wants, and then also he does it in a spirit of bhakti or devotion to please Krishna. So those are the three, what we say, prerequisites to be a pure devotee. Very, very important, these three positive principles. That you're active, that you do what Krishna wants, and you do it in a nice mood. Not that, oh, I got to do the cooking today, I got to do the deity worship today. You know, people feel like that sometimes. Oh, I'm doing this because it's a duty. It's not that one simply does things as a pure devotee because they're a duty. He does things because he likes to do it, and he's exchanging mellows with the Supreme Personality of God as he's doing it. So This is the standard definition of pure devotee. Got it? That's very, very interesting. Standard definition given by Rupa Goswami. So if we apply that definition, then basically we wouldn't be doing any marriage ceremonies like we have a marriage ceremony today, right? We wouldn't allow any of you to have children, right? I mean, it would be a bunch of brahmacharis or brahmacharinis running around. So what do we do about that? I mean, how can we deal with that? It's not that we wait until someone becomes a pure devotee before they get married, because maybe if they become a pure devotee before they get married, they'll decide not to get married. Right? So therefore, Prabhupada has actually given another definition of pure devotee, a practical working definition of pure devotee. One time Prabhupada was asked, how many pure devotees are in your movement? And Prabhupada said, all my disciples are pure devotees. So does that mean, you know, that automatically we have no material desires, we're pleasing Krishna according to our, you know, with great mood of devotion? No, Prabhupada defined a pure devotee as one who follows strictly the instructions of a pure devotee. As they say in logic, one of the first rules of logic, it's an axiom, it's called, things equal to the same thing are equal to each other. Anyone study logic here? No. That's it. Anyway, if you study logic, you understand that. That's called an axiom. Axiom means something that's obvious. You don't have to define it. You don't have to derive it. It's obvious. So in other words, if we are following a pure devotee, and of course for those of us in the Krishna conscious movement, that means His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So following a pure devotee, let me define what it means to follow a pure devotee. It doesn't mean to imitate a pure devotee. We've seen many imitations of Prabhupada that people think, because Prabhupada's absolute, therefore I'm absolute. And they act in such a way that's really beyond their level of realization. That's not what it means. There's anusar, anukar. One can imitate, which is not prescribed. It is proscribed. There's two different words, prescribed and proscribed. Proscribed means prohibited. Prescribed means you should do it. You understand? Just substitute the two letters. You know, O is proscribed for the E, prescribed. English is very interesting like that. So it's not prescribed that one imitate Prabhupada, but one do what Prabhupada wants him to do. And so what does Prabhupada want us to do? It's very interesting. Prabhupada, first of all, wants us to chant Hare Krishna. I mean, that's obvious. Minimum 16 rounds a day, follow the four regulative principles. But there's more than that. If you really want to follow Prabhupada, in the Nectar of Instruction, also Prabhupada gives this definition of pure devotee. He says, one who follows very strictly, doesn't fall down, and in addition is always thinking how to spread the Krishna conscious movement. Does anyone ever remember reading that in the Nectar of Instruction? No? Is that definition's there in the Nectar of Instruction. One who is always thinking on how to spread the Krishna conscious movement according to his capacity, and who never deviates from the regulative principles. And I'm going to add another one. One who serves the mission of the spiritual master. Because Prabhupada, in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the famous story of Puranjana, where Puranjana becomes this nice lady, beautiful lady, Malaya Dwaja, and she is serving, she is also called Vidarbhi. Puranjana becomes a lady because he was thinking of a lady at the time of death. You know, that yam yam bhapi smaran bhavam yajate yanti kalebram. So he becomes a lady and he's serving his, or she, sorry. She's, you know, sex change. We also believe in sex change, but from one lifetime to another. Not within this lifetime. So, one funny story about Prabhupada. One time there was someone coming to the temple, and one day they came as a boy, the next day they came as a girl. And next day they came as a boy, next day they came as a girl. And Prabhupada said, just pick one and stick to it. I mean, Prabhupada didn't heavy the person out. Just, you know, whatever you're going to be, just stick to it. Don't keep changing from one day to another. So Paranjana, he became Vidarbhi. And he was devoted to, or she, sorry, she was devoted to her husband. And the husband died. And she was ready to commit the sati rite. You've heard of the sati rite? Where someone, the wife jumps into the fire after the husband dies. And Prabhupada, there's some very interesting comments in Prabhupada's purports there where Prabhupada said, one who serves the mission of the spiritual master, follows the order of the spiritual master, he said that's the same thing as seeing the super soul. It's tantamount. He uses the word tantamount, and that's another big word in English. Tantamount means it's basically the same thing. It's up to the same standard. So he sees the super soul. And Prabhupada also said that the disciple, when the spiritual master leaves the planet, should be ready to serve the mission of the spiritual master. Otherwise, the disciple should be ready to leave the planet with the spiritual master. I'm sure you've all read that. I mean, because generally when Prabhupada passed away or Srila Tamal Krishnamurti passed away, we read those sections of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's really what or how Prabhupada defines a pure devotee. Not simply one that chants and follows the regulated principles himself, but is dedicated to the mission. Of course, the mission for Srila Prabhupada means the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Prabhupada also said that one who thinks he's Krishna conscious and he's outside of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is living an hallucination. You know what an hallucination is? Hallucination is when people take drugs and they see things that aren't there. You know, when I was young, my whole generation, they were taking drugs and they were hallucinating all the time. You know, the LSD hippie people. And I'm sure that you have people like that here at Fiji too. You know, smoke would do different things like that. So that means that's an hallucination. So Prabhupada, hallucination means you think it's real, but it's not real. That's an hallucination, basically the definition. So they think they're becoming Krishna conscious, but they're not. If they, because you lose your connection with Srila Prabhupada. It's just like the PowerPoints you have here. If they're not connected to the powerhouse, they look the same, right? I mean, you can't tell if you look at a PowerPoint. Are any PowerPoints here? Anyway, I'm sure there's some on the wall. If you look at it, you can't tell if it has electricity in it just by looking at it, can you?
No.
I don't think so. I mean, stick your finger in it and you can tell. But by looking at it, you can't tell whether there's electricity there, whether it's connected. So in the same way, sometimes it appears like someone is like Krishna conscious or connected or whatever, but they're not until you give them the test. And the test is, it's an objective test, whether they're serving the mission of the spiritual master. It's not simply some subjective thing. Oh, when he says something, it makes me shiver. You know, there's plenty of Bollywood stars who make you ladies shiver. And they're not connected to Krishna. Just like one time we were meeting one Bollywood star. One of my disciples was with me, and I introduced her to this Bollywood star. Her name is Vivek Oberoi. And she shook his hand, and she started shaking and everything like that. And then she was in a trance for the next 2 hours after that. You know, like samadhi or something. And as we were leaving to go somewhere else, she said, oh, Krishna consciousness is so wonderful. But I was thinking, that's not Krishna consciousness. You know, and he was surrounded by what they call paparazzi, you know, the photographers that they're taking pictures of him. So in other words, because we have the frailties of the conditioned soul, you know, imperfect senses, tendency to make mistakes, then we can think something is spiritual or ecstatic or wonderful, but it's not. It's just not, you know. So we have to use the brain or the intelligence to discriminate. We don't want a cow brain. What is it? Cow manure brain. Gobar brain. Isn't that? We want a sumedasa, no durmedasa. So you discriminate based on those simple principles. Yes, one is following the order. Yes, one is serving the mission of a spiritual master, ready to do whatever, like Srila Prabhupada. We mentioned that yesterday. Like Srila Prabhupada, he was ready to serve the order of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur at an advanced age, leaving Vrindavan, taking on the austerity of mixing with all these Western rascals, living with people. Like Prabhupada told the story, he stayed with one person's house and the person had dog food or cat food in his refrigerator. And, you know, you may think, oh, that's all right. Some of you may think like that. It's nothing. Cat food, dog food. But Prabhupada was thinking, there's dog food. Now, as a Brahmin, I've lost my caste by living here. So Prabhupada was ready to sacrifice everything for the order of the spiritual master. I mean, for some high-class person, pure devotee like Prabhupada, living in a place where there's dog food. Yuck! Isn't it? You know, you don't think anything. Of course, you go to people's houses all the time that have dogs, right? Even in India, so many people walking around, their French poodles, and they're giving manicures, you know, manicure, a pedicure, you don't know what that is? And they take the dog to the beauty parlor, and dog gets a permanent, you know what permanent is? No, you don't know what that is. Anyway, I don't need to describe that. So Prabhupada, he basically did all that to carry out the order of spiritual master. So that's how you judge someone. So if you want to be a pure devotee, then you do that. Even if you have so many anarthas still there, still, if you do that, you will be empowered to bring people to Krishna consciousness. It is a fact. You will be empowered. So therefore, you don't have to wait until you're free from anarthas to have children, to guide others in Krishna consciousness, to give Bhagavatam class. Also, there's injunction that no one should give Bhagavatam class unless they're free from sex desire. Then we wouldn't have anybody giving Bhagavatam class. I remember when Prabhupada left the planet, that one of my godbrothers thought, no, everyone has sex desire, therefore no one can give Bhagavatam class. So he just played Prabhupada's class for every class. You know, he played a tape, or at those times a tape, not MP3s, and said, no one is qualified to sit on the Vyasana. And, you know, that's what the Bhagavatam says. No one can sit on the Vyasanam unless they're free from sex desire. So what I'm doing is giving a working definition, according to what Prabhupada said, of what a pure devotee is. So if you're like that, then you can take on these different positions. However, you have to have the right motive for taking on the position of being a guide, a father, spiritual master, like that. Now many times, I mean, I could go and ask you, but many times people become fathers or mothers. Why do they become fathers or mothers? So they can enjoy playing with a little kid that looks like them. It's like a mirror image of them. You know, he has your nose. Do parents ever say that here?
Yes.
Oh, your eyes. Your teeth. Or he has your bad personality. You know, the way they criticize. So there's different motives why people have children, for example, or people have disciples. And generally in this world, the motive is to enjoy that particular relationship. Like you enjoy having a little kid. You know, everybody enjoys kids. Just like the other day, Gokul Bandhu was playing with the kids. And I was saying to him, maybe you should get married and have a child. And he was thinking, no, this is easier and cheaper. Play with someone else's children. Don't have to pay the bills, you know. So there's this enjoyance spirit. Or one may become a guru with the motivation that they want profit, adoration, distinction, right? Or at least they want Mahaprasadam. You know, they want to be served. So there's some personal motive there. So the second requisite, or prerequisite, for taking on these different positions is that one take on that service as a service without any personal motivation. All right, so let me give an example. So what's the idea for having a child in Krishna consciousness if parents have a child? The idea is to give a living entity, there's two basic principles, to give a living entity the potential or possibility of advancing further in spiritual life towards Krishna. Another is to actually give birth to a pure devotee who can serve. Like Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he prayed, what, for a ray of Vishnu. He prayed for a ray of Vishnu. And praying for a ray of Vishnu, who appeared? Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So his idea was, let me have a pure devotee's son so we can save the world. So there's these two motivations one can have. To help people advance, to help children advance, or to have a pure devotee to save everybody else, to bring someone up. So it's a very important response. So how does one carry out that responsibility? That's another point. We're talking about parents right now. One carries out the responsibility of being a parent by showing a good example. And another thing is not arguing so much. Parents, sometimes they argue, the mother and father argue between the child. They agree to not argue in front of the child. They want to fight, they can fight somewhere else. They can go to a boxing ring. Or some, what is it, rugby? But they should agree in their guidance for the child, set a good example, have the chanting, but not force the child to become Krishna conscious. Becoming responsible for someone becoming Krishna conscious doesn't mean that you have to force the person. It's still, there's the free will. I remember seeing many parents who would try to force their children to be Krishna conscious. They would say, chant your japa or else you're not going to eat this morning. So what that does is it causes the child to have psychological problems. Because the child, anytime you punish the child with food, it also is very traumatic for the child. Or some other parents would wake up their children at 3 o'clock in the morning when the child was 5 years old to do arti. And so what I experience is when the parents do that to the children, then that later on in life the child will be adverse. In other words, will not want to do those things. I have one disciple whose mother woke him up at 3 o'clock in the morning, every morning, and now he can't wake up before 8. Because even if I mention 3, he starts shaking. Because he was traumatized. There's something called PTSD, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder. He was traumatized by the forcing. So the parents or the guru can't force the disciple. They have to set a good example and encourage them with love. It actually has to come from the heart. In other words, there has to be concern for the other person. Not that one forces, but one is drawing, attracting. In general, when we're dealing with people, bringing people to Krishna consciousness, we pull them to Krishna, we don't push them to Krishna. Do you understand that? There's a difference. Pushing means you better become Krishna conscious or I'm going to shoot you. Isn't it? Wake up. I mean, I remember there was one temple that if you didn't come on time for Mangal Arti, you had to write the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra at 100 or 1,000 times or something like that. That's not going to make people want to go to Mangal Arti. They may come because they're afraid of being punished or not getting prasadam in the morning. But it has to be based on love. I mean, that's what Prabhupada did. You know, why or how did Prabhupada make so many people Krishna conscious? Of course, he's a pure devotee. That's the first thing. But people felt that here was someone who loved me in an unconditional way. And that was my impression with Prabhupada. When I first met Prabhupada in 1971, the first impression I had was here was someone, he looked at me, I said, someone who loves me, and not because of what I can do for him. You know, most relationships are based, you know, I love you. What is it? I scratch your back, you scratch my back. That's most relationships. Let's make a deal. You know, a bargain, a contract or something like that. It's more or less like a business deal. You buy something from Tapu's, you know. And the salesman doesn't love you, although he acts like it, right, to sell you something. Or selling a car. Especially car salesmen, they have to learn everybody's name and appear like they love you, isn't it? You have car salesmen here in Fiji? No. But I know in America, I can walk into a car dealership I haven't been in for 10 years, and the person will remember my name and say, "Oh, Swamiji! How are you and the little Swamijis?" I said, "There's no little Swamijis." I'm a sannyasi. Anyway, so he appears to be a friend, but the motive is there. So Prabhupada, he exhibited real love. And you could feel that coming from Srila Prabhupada. That he wasn't trying to use us for something. Like sometimes parents do that. My dear son, you have to become a doctor. Why? To please me. Why? Because that's your business, to please me. Why? Because you're a rascal. Anyways, so isn't it? Sometimes the parents do that. And my mother did that too. Don't be a Hare Krishna devotee. Why? Because it won't please me. So the point is that's the way to bring people to Krishna consciousness. Whether you're a guru or whether you're a parent. And that the point is that sometimes the disciples or children or people working under you won't always act in such a way as it pleases you, right? And then you still have to love them. That's the trick. I mean, of course, with the children, sometimes the children have to change the diapers and everything like that. But even the children do things. They talk back to the parents. Talk back to the parents. So Krishna will test you like this. Not only with children, but with people you're trying to guide in Krishna consciousness. And you just have to love them regardless of what they do. Like Prahlad Maharaj, he loved his father. He didn't follow his father, obviously, as Prabhupada points out here. But he loved his father. Even though his father tried to kill him. Can you imagine? Would you love someone who tried to kill you? No. What you would do is, if Lord Nrisingadev appeared, you would tell Lord Nrisingadev to send him to hell. Right? You say, "My dear Lord Nrisingadev, send that creep to hell and make him suffer eternally." But Prahlad Maharaj didn't do that. What did he do? He said, "Please forgive him." And Lord Nrisingadev did that. Can you imagine? So that's really the prerequisite, another prerequisite, in addition to following Prabhupada and carrying out the mission of Prabhupada and following strictly and chanting, waking up early in the morning. That's another point, waking up early in the morning, I forgot to mention. You know, going to Mangalarti. These are basic instructions of Prabhupada. And carrying out Prabhupada's mission, that you have to really feel love. So, of course, that's not artificial. How do you feel love for everybody? Or particularly the persons you're trying to help? You have to be immersed in Krishna's holy names and understand your real relationship, the real thing that will please your heart is the chanting of Krishna's names, not someone else's actions. And I've seen that as spiritual master, that I can't expect my disciples to please me or do things always to please me, but I still have to love them. So in other words, I have to get my happiness and my relationship satisfied in relation to the holy name. Do you understand that? Because we're looking to others to please us emotionally, physically, psychologically. It's not going to work if you're a spiritual master. It's not going to work if you're a parent. It just doesn't work like that. You have to get your connection with Krishna's name. And that's our movement. That's why we call it the Hare Krishna movement, because we're connected with the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And that's why I advise devotees, whenever possible, to chant more than 16 rounds a day. We have a very nice system that I had in the United States for getting people to chant 64 rounds. I drop them off from the temple 10 kilometers away. And I said, you're going to walk back and chant the whole way. On Ekadasi, we do that. Of course, I walk with them, too. We have someone drop us off, even more than that. I think it was about 20-something kilometers away. And we say, we're going to walk back. And when they walk back, with me and they're chanting, of course, we don't allow prajalpa. How long does it take? 4 hours or something like that. It's like walking around Govardhan. Walking around Govardhan is 21, 22 kilometers. Takes 4 or 5 hours to walk around Govardhan. And so they've chanted most of their 64 rounds, and then they come back, and their whole lives are changed when they have that connection with Krishna. So having a connection with Krishna's holy names, not just chanting your names while you're driving your car, you know, shifting your gears, oh, left hand here, shifting the gears with the car, and doing, you know, listening to the radio, watching Bollywood films while you're chanting Hare Krishna, but having a real connection with the holy names, then you'll be capable of helping others and bringing others to Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, you're not going to be capable of doing that. Anyway, so we've given a summary or prerequisites or requirements for carrying out Lord Rishabhadev's instructions of being capable of liberating your dependence from the cycle of birth and death. So any questions or comments on this? We have about 5 more minutes of class.
Anusaradhikar.
Which means basically to imitate or to follow in the footsteps of. The first one is imitate and then follow in the footsteps of. You understand? So Prabhupada said we should not imitate, but we should follow in the footsteps, which means the instructions. The mood of the spiritual master. What is the mood of Srila Prabhupada? Kripa Sindhu Vyeva Cha. It's unlimited compassion and love. You show love for someone the most when they do something that you don't like. Like Haridas Thakur, another example, I gave the example of Prahlad Maharaj. Haridas Thakur was being hit in 22 marketplaces, beaten, right? Yet he had love for the people who were beating him. He was concerned for them. So these are examples that we should seek to not imitate, but to understand the mood and try to have the same mood. To have this unalloyed love for Krishna, of course, and other Krishna's parts and parcels. In other words, ajata, satrava, shanta, shatava, sadabhushana. Not having any enemies. That's the first thing. Not considering anyone to be my enemy, but yastu sarvani bhutane atmane vanapashati. Sarvabhuteshu chatmanam tato na bhigigupshate. Does anyone know that verse? That's from the Ishupanishad. One who sees everyone is connected to Krishna. So then he doesn't hate anyone or hate anything, and he loves everyone. So this, to see everybody connected to Krishna, and if you act harshly towards any of Krishna's part and parcels, it's the same as acting harshly towards Krishna. Even an ant. You understand? If you act in a negative way, hateful way towards an ant, it's the same as acting hatefully towards Krishna. That's the standard. So especially those who are given to you to guide in Krishna consciousness, you have to have this unalloyed love for them. Not that there's no rejecting, you just keep, you love like Prabhupada. When disciples did things that, in many cases, did things that Prabhupada didn't like, Prabhupada welcomed them back. He was so happy to have them. He was crying when they would come back. There was no question of rejecting. So we have to have that mood too. So any other questions or comments? Or problems? And then you can become a parent or a guru or even a demigod if you like. You know, worshipful entity, or teacher, or example, any sort of example. So you devotees who are parents have a big responsibility. And, of course, the gurus, temple president, preachers, they all have a big responsibility. That's all. I don't need it today. I'm going to leave it up there. Okay, all glorious news, divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.